Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God to begin with in the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. These are the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. You must obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy, and you and your children and grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey all his decrees and commands, you will enjoy a long life. Listen closely, Israel, and be careful to obey. Then all will go well with you, and you will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your foreheads and as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And then turning to the New Testament, the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. But this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up in the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. And then finally, then, Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I'm in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. Verses 10 through 20, Ephesians 6. Thank you, Lord, once again for the wonderful gift of your word. Thank you for the privilege we have of being able to spend time with you one-on-one as we open your word day by day and spend time as you speak words of life, power, grace, peace, and encouragement into our hearts, our minds, and our lives. Thank you, Lord, for the truth that your word is the most powerful weapon in the world. Teach our hands to war, Lord. Teach us to be wise warriors who go out victoriously using this wonderful weapon that we know is the Word of God every day to both build your kingdom and tear down the kingdom of darkness. We thank you and praise you for that privilege and opportunity daily we have. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, I just want to thank you right now for your word. Thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you so much for scriptures. Thank you so much for your good commandments. Father, I pray that we'd grow in our desire to grow in righteousness. I ask that we'd grow in our desire to grow in holiness. I ask that we'd hold on to your truths, to your commandments more and more every day. Father, thank you so much for having so much grace and mercy and for being patient in teaching us. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you for being a part of our listening family. We're continuing to remind and encourage every single listener to, if you haven't gotten involved, gotten your children or grandchildren involved in the Ten Commandments Project Speech Challenge, we're inviting you to do that. Remember the deadline. Well, the starting date was June 1st. The deadline is June 30th. And again, we're encouraging young people from ages 7 to 17 to write a speech or have someone help them write a speech on the topic, why are the Ten Commandments important? We're encouraging a length of 3 to 5 minutes, but any length you provide is acceptable. Videotape it on your, record it on your cell phone or any other recording device, and you can upload it to afr.net/Ten Commandments. And 10 is written out T-E-N. Again, afr.net/Ten Commandments, and upload it there. And you can find more information about the project as well. And so we've had some great participants thus far, and we're looking for a good number more. So you have, still have plenty of time. The 30th is the deadline. So we hope that you will help your children or grandchildren or young people that you know to get involved. It's been an exciting project that actually gets more exciting every year. So we hope that you will get involved. And remember, it is a discipleship project, a project whereby we can help our children learn the foundational truths found in the Ten Commandments, but also encouraging them to live them out as well. Hope that you will get involved. We are very blessed and honored to have as our phone guest today, Mark Hancock. He's the CEO of the ministry and organization known as Trail Life USA. Mark, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Pastor Joseph. Thank you for having me on.
Honored to have you on. And, you know, I've had the privilege, I've heard of Trail Life for some time, and actually was a little bit excited that I learned that a church not too far away from us was about to start a group, and then something happened, so it fell through. So, but I'm looking forward to learning more about the mission and the work and the beginnings of Trail Life. So if you'll take time to further introduce yourself, and then let's dive right in and talk about how Trail Life began and how it's evolved.
Yeah, I'd love to share that. Trail Life USA is a Christ-centered, boy-focused character leadership and adventure organization for boys from kindergarten up through 12th grade, and we're in all 50 states. We have about 1,200 churches that have Trail Life USA troops, about 60,000 members, and it's everything that you would expect from a boys' organization, uniforms and handbooks and patrols and hiking and camping and outdoor adventure, but it's two big differences between us and the Boy Scouts, who have been around for over 100 years. We are Christ-centered, which means we're unapologetically Christian. We're not just an outdoor organization having a Christian experience. We're at our core a ministry that uses the outdoors to turn boys into godly men. And the second thing is we're boy-focused. We believe that boys and girls are different, and boys need an organization that's aimed at their specific strengths. And so we built an organization, a male-centric program, that helps boys be around Christian men, learning what it means to be a godly man. So we've seen incredible growth over the last 10 years and excited about where God is taking us next.
Mm. You covered a lot of ground in just those few moments, and we want to take a few moments to expand on that. Before we go further, though, would you pray for listeners to really have ears to hear what the Lord would have them share? Because there, my guess is there were some people listening who God would have them to start or help start one, a Trail Life group in their community as well. So would you pray for listeners to be wide open to whatever the Lord wants to say to them through the broadcast today?
Yeah, I would love to do that, Pastor. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity to speak with families and parents and perhaps aunts and uncles and grandparents of boys who are desperate in the culture to understand what it means to be a godly man. I would pray that they would find their way to Trail Life USA or ministries like Trail Life USA that encourage the heart of a boy. And we just pray that our words would be glorifying to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. And so you mentioned that you said you have over 60,000 boys, is that right, so far in the organization?
We're coming up on 60,000 members. That would be boys and adults.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And how long, you said you've been in existence about 10 years?
We started about 10 years ago when the Boy Scouts, it was clear that the Boy Scouts were beginning to lose their way. And we knew that there would be churches and ministries that held to traditional biblical values that would have a difficult time, partnering with an organization that was losing its way. Mm-hmm. And so we started Trail Off. About 300 volunteers across the country got together and said, hey, somebody needs to do something about this. And mm-hmm. so we started talking in 2013, and we launched on January 1st, 2014.
That's great. Well, if someone listening was to ask you this question, if they were to say, well, I don't see why there was a need for an additional organization beyond the Boy Scouts, they seemed okay, how would you respond to that question?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. I've actually heard that before. I had a mother ask me recently. I spoke at a homeschool convention, and she said, listen, I've got a Boy Scout troop 5 minutes away, and I've got a Trail Life troop 30 minutes away. Why should I make the drive? And I said, well, that's a great question, because in a lot of ways we look the same. Like I said, uniforms and handbooks and patrols and outdoors and character leadership opportunities and venture. But there are two ways that make us different. And if they matter to you, they're a big deal. If they don't matter to you, then choose someone that's closer. And those are the two differences I talked about recently or just earlier. We are Christ-centered, unapologetically Christian. So it's a biblical worldview woven throughout all that we do, all of our badges, all that stuff. It's not churchy. It's not like Sunday school in the outdoors, but there is Christ woven throughout the entire program. And then the second thing is boy-focused. We believe that boys and girls are different. And, you know, in May, Boy Scouts took the word boy out of their name. They've actually changed their name now to Scouting America. They no longer call themselves the Boy Scouts because mm-hmm. they've moved towards an organization that boys, girls, transgender boys and girls can be members. And we believe that radically changes the experience that a boy has. And because so we believe we're boy focused, we believe that boys are different than girls. And so those are big differences. If those two differences, the Christ-centered model and the boy focused piece, if they don't make a difference to you, then there's not much of a difference. If they do, there's just no comparison between the two organizations.
Mm. You know, just from what you're sharing and the little that I've learned about Trail Life, I think in some ways, there's an added blessing to the fact that Trail Life exists now in it, because it sounds like you're much more deliberately Christian than the Boy Scouts ever was. And that's so important, because the reality is, in life, as believers, we're supposed to live Christ-centered in absolutely everything we do. And it's not just kind of a nice thing to do on the side. It really is important for us to seek to be Christ-centered in all of life. And so, again, I'm encouraged to hear that it's both a ministry that's Christ-centered and that discipleship is an important part of the work that you do as well. So if someone wants to learn more about Trail Life or wants to get in touch with the organization, how can they do that?
Well, they can start at our website. It's traillifeusa.com, Trail Life, two L's in the middle, traillifeusa.com. And there's a couple buttons there. One is find a troop, and you can click on that. It shows a map of the United States. You can put in your zip code or the city that you're in, and it'll show you the troops that are nearby. And you can click on that, and you can connect with that troop. Or if you don't have a troop nearby, there's a tab that says start a troop, and it shows you how you can bring Trail Life to your church. We consider ourselves to be an outreach in a local church. We're not just a group that meets in the basement. We are a ministry of that local church. And so we have very close partnerships with our churches. We have an aligned statement of faith, statement of values. We talk about things like the definition of marriage, purity, and those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And those are things that the Boy Scouts just were not able to talk about anymore. So you'll find some real differences there.
Okay. Well, we're coming up on a break, so we'll pick up on the other side. Our phone guest today is Mark Hancock. He's the CEO of Trail Life USA. We'll be right back.
This is the story of a runaway, with no way home and no way out. I threw the best of me away. I had my chance, it's too late now. Too far gone and too ashamed to think that you'd still know my name. But love refused to let my story end that way. You didn't wait for me to find my way to you. I couldn't cross that distance even if I wanted to. You came running after me when anybody else would have turned and left me at my worst. Love moved first.
The music of Casting Crowns with Love Moved First. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Mark Hancock. He's the CEO of Trail Life USA. And Mark, we just have you for just a few more minutes, though, but we really do appreciate you taking the time to be with us. Would you share, would you talk just briefly about the importance of fathers or father figures who serve as within the Trail Life ministry and the part and the roles they play?
Yeah, I think that what we're doing is we're reminding men of who it is that they are and what it is that they're able to do in the ministry to the next generation. You know, you can't build godly men without godly men. So we have 20,000 plus volunteers, men volunteers across the country, mm-hmm. who are in this ministry in order to grow boys to be godly men. And it's not just men who have boys in the program or have a son in the program that they're participating with. But we have a lot of men in the program who don't have a son in the program, but they're there because they're interested in impacting the next generation. And when you can create a male-centric environment where boys have an example, a mentor, someone who's discipling them in what it means to be a godly man, that makes all the difference. You know, one in four boys is now in a household without a father. 76% of public school teachers are female. 80-something percent of Sunday school teachers are female. So girls have these wonderful role models. You know, single mom is doing a great job raising that family on her own. And then that girl goes to school, and there's a teacher at the front of the classroom. And then she goes to Sunday school, and there's a woman teacher at the front of the classroom. So everywhere that girl goes, she's seeing good examples of good and strong, godly women. Boys don't have so many of those examples. So in Trail Life USA, we're restoring the purpose, the function, the opportunity for men to stand as a model, a mentor, a disciple of the next generation. And so boys, I've heard moms say things like, you know, after you come home from your Trail Life meeting, you're taller to their sons because mm-hmm. they've spent that time in the company of men. Recognizing that they're part of something bigger than they are, a band of brothers, and they're reminded of who it is that they are, and they just stand straighter. So the influence of a father or a father-like in the life of a boy is just huge. And I believe that any legitimate call to manhood must include a call to either be a father of natural sons or to be a dad-like to a boy who needs a father figure in his life. Mm-hmm. And so we're accomplishing that through Trail Life USA. So single moms love it because they have a place to send their sons. Men love it because they find the brotherhood of other men. Dads love it because they get to enjoy these opportunities to connect with their sons in new ways. So in mm-hmm. all those ways, we're supercharging and reminding men of their role in the body of Christ.
Mm. So, in other words, you've seen that this organization is a tremendous blessing, well, to our culture as a whole, but in a special way, uniquely to single moms then.
Yeah, well, let me show you a story. Just recently out in California, a young boy a 15-year-old boy received our second highest award, and he had a single mom at home. They didn't have a father in the household, mm-hmm. and he stood before that group of men, and he said, I need to thank the men in this room. You taught me how to shave, and you taught me how to love Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so you got to look at the single mom sitting in the room saying, yes, I nailed it. I found a place where not only did my son get the experience of seeing what it means to be a man who loves Jesus and to model himself after that man, but also the practical things that were so uncomfortable or awkward for me to show my son, God provided men to do that. And so mm-hmm. single moms love it. Because they've got a place to put their boys where they can have that godly male influence. Dads love it because they get to function with their son. And they also, men without boys in the program, they love it because they found this wonderful brotherhood of men who are interested in helping the next generation.
Mm. Would you take a moment before you go, would you pray for the church to really come alongside and connect with Trail Life in the ways the Lord would have them to?
I would love to. Father God, I just thank you, God, that you have a remnant that's rising in this country of men who are convicted about their role in the kingdom and the difference that they can make in the lives of boys. And we just pray, God, for a fresh anointing on churches to recognize the power of the men who are sitting in their congregation and to engage those men actively in the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ through programs like Trail Life USA. I would just pray for pastors' eyes to be open to the power, the energy, the potential of the men that are sitting there in the congregation and the difference that they can make in their community and in the lives of boys. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mark. Mark, just before you go, would you share one more time if someone wants to get in touch with, learn more about it, or if they're interested in starting a group in their organization, tell them where to go and how to find that information.
Sure. Trail Life USA, two L's in the middle, traillifeusa.com. And there's actually right now a free download of a book, Let Boys Be Boys. We talk about the psychological, developmental, biological differences between boys and girls that makes it important that we recognize that they're different. And that's free right now at our website and traillifeusa.com.
All right. Mark, thanks so much for your time. And again, we want to encourage every listener, pray much for Mark Hancock and the work and ministry and mission of Trail Life USA. Thanks so much, Mark.
Thank you, Pastor. God bless.
All right. And again, we're encouraging every listener, as I mentioned, please pray much for the great work and the mission that they're carrying out in touching and affecting the lives of boys in our culture. Well, for the balance of the broadcast, I want to share some more insight and encouragement about our Ten Commandments project. You know, it's continuing, it's going on still. It started on June the 1st, and it's the deadline for the speech challenge is June the 30th. So if your son or daughter or grandson or granddaughter or the young person or persons that you're working with hasn't completed their speech, again, we're encouraging you to encourage them to finish their speech. And again, remember, they can write the speech or they can get help with the speech as well and simply have it recorded on a cell phone or recording device, and they can upload it to the website afr.net/Ten Commandments. The word 10, T-E-N, is written out. Again, afr.net/Ten Commandments. They can upload their speech, their videotaped speech on that website. Also, there's more information about the project as well. Keep in mind, the other side to the project beyond the speech challenge is, of course, if a young person simply memorizes the Ten Commandments and recites them, they memorize them, recite them to dad or mom or to a youth director or to a responsible adult. We just need a phone call from that individual to say, let me share it like this. The phone call is the initial step. And once you make the phone call, let us know that you made that step. Then we'll need an email where you're stating, my son, my daughter, my grandson, granddaughter recited the Ten Commandments. This is his or her size. And this is his or her mailing address. And so that way we can get them a T-shirt. So if they memorize the Ten Commandments, they can get a free Ten Commandments T-shirt that way as well. And, of course, they'll get a free Ten Commandments T-shirt upon being a part of the speech challenge as well. Then the third part of the outreach is sometimes we lead them, but also we teach and encourage other churches or groups to lead a 4 to 6 week teaching session, basically time of teaching the Ten Commandments to young people. And we recommend that you use movie clips as well as certain tools as a part of you teaching them. But teaching them the meaning of each commandment is very, very important because, you know, as we look at our society, the fact is some of the biggest issues in the news are a result of people violating the Ten Commandments, violating the wisdom of God's Word. Again, you know, and something that is interesting, and it would be amusing if it wasn't kind of tragic, though. The reality is, if you were to ask yourself as an individual believer, you know, if someone asked you to recite the Ten Commandments, the reality is lots of believers couldn't do it. Now, you might think, well, I know the Ten Commandments. Well, often people say they do. But if push came to shove and they had to say all of them, lots of people can't name all ten. So I would encourage every single listener, starting place is this. Take the time to memorize the basic Ten Commandments today. And our encouragement to you is not only memorize them, start to pray them every single day. Why is that important? Well, the Word of God tells us in the book of James, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And if we're wise enough to pray the Ten Commandments over ourselves, our families, and our nation, they will have an effect on ourselves, our family, and our nation every single day. I'm going to take a moment now to pray the Ten Commandments. And keep in mind, too, if you'd like to get a copy of a prayer based on the Ten Commandments, a prayer showing you how to pray the Ten Commandments, simply email me at joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to email it to you. And our encouragement is that you, along with your family, would pray the Ten Commandments absolutely every single day. Thank you, Lord, for us as individual believers. Thank you for us as a family. Thank you for us as the church, the body of Christ. And thank you for us as a nation. Help us this day, Lord, to put you first. Help us to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. So again, it doesn't take but just a few moments. But remember this. The Bible says the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. So now be mindful of this reality. Satan will try to tell and convince you that praying them is really accomplishing little to nothing. Well, that's a big lie. The fact is, again, God himself says our prayers are powerful and effective. So every day you pray them, every day they have an effect over the individuals and the entities that you pray it over. So I would encourage you to pray them every single day. And also, I would encourage you as a family, as husbands and wives, and as parents with children, talk about them sometimes. Now, you might think, well, I know the Ten Commandments. I don't quite see the need to really talk about them. Well, actually, it's wise to do that. Why? Because the Ten Commandments contain the wisdom and the counsel of God. And you take the first commandment, for example, you shall have no other gods before me. In other words, that commandment is teaching us to put God first. Let me share with you some powerful truths about that commandment all by itself. Another commandment that's directly related to you shall have no other gods before me is found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. When you put God first, the rest of your life begins to come together by the grace of God as it should, because when God is first place in your life, everything else can begin to fall in place. If God is not first place in your life, nothing else will be in place. Putting God first blesses your life tremendously. So when we're wise enough to put God first and to not put other things before God, it blesses your life in many, many ways that you or I may not fully comprehend. But when God is first place, it makes all the difference in the world. And remember this, you know, you have time in your life for what's first. You know, sometimes people say, I ran out of time. You know, when you put something first, then you're going to have time for what you make first. You know, you may or may not get around to what's second or third or fourth, but whatever you put first, typically you have time for that. When God is first, when early in the morning you make time to get into the Word of God, that's a wise thing to do. Early in the morning you make time to pray and spend time with God. That's a wise way to live. So we're wise to live that and to teach it to our children as well. When we put God first, it blesses every other part of your life. Lord, thank you for the opportunity for us to live in such a way that daily we're seeking to put you first. Help us and teach us, Lord, to do just that. Help us to make time in your word one of the high priorities of our lives. Help us, Lord, to make prayer one of the high priorities of our lives. In fact, Lord, anoint all of our prayer lives with a mighty, mighty, mighty anointing. Set them on fire with the spirit of prayer. Empower us to be the praying church you've called us to be. Lord, you even referred to us as the church, as the house of prayer. Help us to live that out. Empower us to live that out today and every day in Jesus' name. And more, Father, help us to be wise enough to seek to put you first in absolutely everything. And help us to be mindful, Lord, that that's not a burden, but it's a great blessing. When we're wise enough to put you first, the blessing and the anointing and the grace that pours on the rest of our lives is tremendous. Father, with every passing day, more and more, help us to become more faithful to put you first. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And so, you know, you can step all the way through each of the commandments, but remember, each one is very, very important. We're to not make any graven images. In other words, we're not to worship anybody or anything else. We're only to worship God. Keep in mind, no one else or nothing else is worthy of our worship of our Heavenly Father. Only God is worthy of our worship, our praise, and our thanksgiving in that regard. Only God. And so, sadly, we live in a world where people make idols of all sorts of things. For many people, their cell phone is an idol, or the internet is their idol, or their music or sports is their idol, television is their idol, or the clothing, or all sorts of things become idols. Anything we put before God becomes an idol. And we're not to make graven images or put anything before him. It's important that we don't make idols in our lives. Lord, anoint us afresh with this spirit of wisdom and grace to help us more and more to make no graven images and to not to worship anything or anybody else but you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back. Andrew Peterson with Is He Worthy? Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Early in the broadcast, our phone guest was Mark Hancock. He was the CEO of Trail Life USA. Again, we're encouraging you, please take time to pray daily for the great work of that ministry to boys in our culture. It's thriving and doing well. Please pray much for the work and the mission of Trail Life USA. But we're talking also about our Ten Commandments project, and I want to encourage every single listener to prayerfully consider doing at least three things on a consistent basis in your home. I want to encourage you, first, pray the Ten Commandments every single day, as we mentioned earlier. Praying it every day does have an effect, and an important effect. So don't take that lightly. Don't make light of that. Praying them every day is very wise. Our nation needs the prayers of the church praying the Ten Commandments. So pray them daily. It would encourage you to, and encourage others to do it as well. And also, let me just say too, you know, you can easily draw the article from the AFA stand that talks about praying the Ten Commandments. And you can have it on your phone and text it, forward it to family, friends, and encourage them. Encourage them to start praying it every single day as well, because again, it does have an effect on us and our nation, our families, and our nation as well. So praying it daily and encouraging others to do the same is very, very wise. So in addition to praying it every day, I would encourage you, if you don't have a copy of the Ten Commandments hanging in your home, that would be a very wise thing to do. You know, I think of this, a great thing that has happened just in the last few days. The state of Louisiana has decided to require the Ten Commandments to be placed on display in every public school classroom. Now, let me say this to every single listener. That is huge. That is huge. Now, the reality is some people don't think it's that big of a deal. It makes all the difference in the world, because remember this, our kids need the Word of God and the wisdom of God more than they need anything else in the world. Why is that true? The Word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word of God. So the wisdom of Jesus is found in the Ten Commandments. So having them on display is wise, because yes, they will see them, and yes, they will read them if they're on display in their schools. And that's a good thing. I hope all other 49 states will do the same thing. Why would they not do that? Because again, our kids need the guidance and the grace and the power of God's Word at work in their lives. And that's a good place to start. But that's one more reason why, you know, it's good for them to be placed in the schools, no question about it. But you know, we as believers should have them on display in our homes as well. And in fact, it's good to have them on display prominently in our churches as well. You know, there are plenty of churches that don't have them on display anywhere in their church building. Why not? Why not do that? Place them on display so that they can be freely seen by children and adults, because it's a wise tool to use to see often, to remind you of the wisdom and the counsel and the standards of God that He's calling us to as His people. So, again, number one, we're encouraging you to pray the Ten Commandments every day. Number two, have them on display in your home and do your part to help. Ask your pastor if you can help get them on display in a number of places in the church building where your church family worships. And then finally, then have activities at home and in church teaching and reciting the Ten Commandments. Now, I would just mention, we had a precious young lady that recited, she did a Ten Commandments speech in service at the church I pastor's Bethlehem Church in Winona, Mississippi. And we had a young lady to do a Ten Commandments speech just this past Sunday. Did a beautiful job. And I've said on a number of occasions, if I had children that wanted to do that, I'd be glad to have them do it 52 Sundays out of a year, to come up on Sunday morning and share a speech or to recite the Ten Commandments. Why? Because it'll bless them, but they will in turn be a blessing to the whole church as well. They'll inspire young people. They'll inspire adults as well. The church very much needs to put our children and young people to work for the kingdom of God. There's so much they can do. They can minister. Obviously, they can grow and disciple themselves, but they can disciple each other and they can inspire each other to good works. And so let's put our children to work in the church much more effectively and wisely as we should. Then the next commandment tells us you should not use God's name in vain. In other words, God's name is not a cuss word. God's name is not something you shout when you hit your thumb with a hammer. We're to pray in the name of Jesus. And not only are we to pray in the name of Jesus, but also we're to live in such a way that we honor the name of God. You know, in other words, if we say we're a believer, but we live and act like we're not, that doesn't honor the name of God. So we're wrong to take God's name in vain. We're not to use His name in vain. The next commandment says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We're wise to have a day of worship and rest. Worship and rest. God rested on the seventh day after he created the worlds. God didn't have to rest, but he did rest. But also, he was being a good role model for us because we're made in such a way where we do need rest. Anyone that works all the time, they're probably going to wear themselves out. God made us to where there's a time to rest. And so having a day of worship and rest during the week is very, very important for each and every one of us. The next commandment, honor your father and your mother. We're to always honor our parents. When children are young, they're to taught to listen and obey their parents. Do what their parents tell them. Whatever they may tell them to clean up your room. They need to teach them to clean up their room. To wash the dishes, tell them to wash the dishes. Children are to obey their parents. We're to teach and train our children to be respectful of dad and mom. One of the tragedies in our culture is we see too often children that can be so disrespectful to their parents. Young children and sometimes even adult children. Remember this, every adult child, all your life, you're to be very honorable to your parents. Don't scold your parents. Don't be ugly or inconsiderate. Be very kind and gracious to them. Why? Because they're your parents. And when you honor God, when you honor your parents, you honor God. God takes it personally when we honor our parents. Yet sadly, when people dishonor their parents, God takes that personally too. Never be dishonorable towards your parents. Sometimes even if dad or mom says or does something that's wrong, be gracious to them. Don't scold them. That's not your place. Always be respectful and thoughtful. And be gracious even when you graciously disagree. But honor your father and your mother. So that's to be true when children are young, and that's to be true when children are adults as well. Always honor your parents. Another way to honor them, pray for them daily. Encourage them in spiritual things. And read the word to your parents at any age. You know what? Lots of adult children have never read the word to their parents. Sometimes you say, hey, dad or mom, can I read scripture to you? And it'll bless their heart. You know, parents like to hear the voices of their children. And if you didn't know that, well, you know it now. Parents generally like to hear the voices of their children. That's important. Then the next commandment says, you shall not murder. Sadly, abortion is tremendously prominent in our culture and the reality of abortion. But abortion is taking innocent life. It's wrong to murder. It's wrong for people to shoot other human beings and stab them and hurt other human beings, and it's wrong to abort as well. The Bible is clear. Abortion is always wrong. It's basically, the commandment says, you shall not take innocent life, and that's what murder is. And so abortion is without question taking innocent life, and sadly, abortion is first-degree murder. God's word clearly opposes abortion. It opposes murder in any capacity. It's important we know that, believe that, teach that, and stand on that. Then you shall not steal. Don't take other people's things. Don't be a shoplifter, but don't be someone who takes the items and the belongings of other people. That causes problems on every level of our world and our culture. Then you shall not tell lies. We live in a world where people lie a lot. They just don't tell the truth. You can see it on television and on the news and in so many capacities, people that are deceptive. There's so much deception in the world. God wants us to be people who tell the truth. Then the last one, you shall not covet. Don't have wrong desires for things that don't belong to you. If you desire something your neighbor has, ask the Lord to give you one or get an extra job and then earn the money to buy it. But don't have a desire for other things that belong to other people. Don't have a desire for somebody else's car. Ask the Lord to help you to get one maybe like it. Don't desire your neighbor's husband or wife. Ask the Lord to give you one. Don't be covetous. So all the Ten Commandments are wonderful truths that would bless our society if we lived them and if we would be wise enough to pray them. We're encouraging you to pray the Ten Commandments every single day. And if you haven't been doing that, today is a good day to start that very important prayer habit, because yes, it can affect us and our whole nation and even our whole world as well. So praying them daily over yourself, the church, and the nation is very, very wise. I hope that you will start that. And parents, again, teach your children the Ten Commandments. Figure out a way to encourage them, incentivize them to memorize the Ten Commandments. And keep in mind, if they memorize them and recite them to you, all we need from you is a phone call, and you call us and let us know my son or daughter recited them, and give us their size, and we need your mailing address, and we will mail a t-shirt to you. Father, thank you for the opportunity you give to all of us to be involved with the wonderful work of discipleship, and thank you for the opportunity to use the wonderful tool that we refer to as the Ten Commandments. Help us to be faithful and wise as the church to use this wonderful tool called the Ten Commandments wisely and fruitfully every day of our lives. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you have never made the wonderful step of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. Would you now, from your heart, pray this prayer and commit your heart and your whole life to the Lord Jesus Christ and thus be saved? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to live a life of obedience to you daily. Thank you, and I praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, if you pray that prayer, we're very much wanting to be in touch with you once again. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord, discipleship materials that will strengthen you in your new walk with the Lord. Please get in touch again, joseph@afr.net. As always, we appreciate you being a part of our listening family. Please pray much for the ministry of the American Family Association and the ministry of American Family Radio Network and for the ministry of the Hour of Intercession. We very much desire and need your prayers. Please pray daily for us. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.